Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Thursday. Excited now for the next hour to talk some football with Coach Jeff Fisher, of course, with AF1, Arena Football 1, the Nashville Cats. But we got some kids from Franklin Road Academy in here. And look, when I went to FRA, we were rivals because your kids were at CPS.
That's
so,
right.
You know, I can remember on a Friday night, you'd be getting ready for a game, but you'd come out and watch your sons play at CPA or FRA when they would be playing
each
other.
The memories are so cool just because I had, you know, I had both the boys 5 years apart, Brandon and Trent, go through there. And then in the middle, I had my daughter cheering. So every Friday night, you know, because during the season, we're basically going to be traveling on a Saturday. Rarely do we go. So every Friday night, my rear end was sitting in the seat at CPA and going to different road trips and things like that and following them through the playoffs. And, you know, as it's been talked about for forever, there's nothing better than the Friday night lights. And, you know, and the high school football and everything that's associated with the high school football, the freshman teams and the younger teams as they mature. But it's really a great experience. And so I'm sitting here looking past you. It looks like what is a throwback Houston Oilers sweatshirt.
Yeah.
Nice job planning that one. What's your name? Nice to see you. Yeah, thanks for coming. So, what a great compliment you guys on bringing this everybody from the alma mater back in here for a tour and everything. That's what it's all about, you know. You guys take advantage of this. But, I try to get to a Friday night. Somewhere in the football season over the last couple of years, I've gotten to a high school football game.
It's funny when – the Titans and you did it and they did it on and down. They'd go the Friday night practice during camp. You go to high school and do that. And you go to your players and, you know, sometimes you couldn't get guys to talk and you'd go to them and say, hey, tell me about your high school career. You couldn't get those guys to shut up. We love talking about our high school careers.
I love it. And I had a group, in there, the group with Lindell and Vince and CJ and that group got out. And I think it's because they were new, versus, Frank is used to doing stuff, Wycheck and all those guys and Eddie were used to doing it. But this group really got engaged. I mean, I remember it seemed like every Friday night at home, somebody tapped me on the shoulder and it'd be Lindell White and all his buddies, sitting there behind me right there watching the high school football game. And I think to a certain extent, they're kissing my butt because I knew they were gonna go look for trouble Friday after the game, barely show up and sleep on Saturday. But it was all that was sort of about. I mean, football, that's where it starts,
Yeah, really exactly. Cool.
Yeah. Let's talk to some AF1. I know that this has been a passion project, maybe the best way to put it. I mean, it's been something that you've really been involved in. It started with the Cats last year, and now, a whole new league this year with new teams, plus your involvement with the Cats. I mean, how's it been going?
It's been going good. Yeah, it's quiet. It's been quiet here for reasons that I'll explain. But, last year wasn't easy. Last year, I got involved. I offered to help. And then as soon as we got started, things started collapsing around us. It was totally out of our control. But we pulled together a group of franchises, a group of owners and head coaches and players that were committed to finding a way to finish the year. And we did so with a championship game in Jersey between Albany and Billings. Billings winning the championship last year. We started off with a dozen teams. We finished with, I think it was 8 or 9 last year. But those teams have gotten much, much stronger. The league has spent the offseason pulling everything together, working on sponsorships, working on, streaming deals and working on potential gaming opportunities. We pulled together a director of officiating, and we have a great relationship with the NFL officiating department right now. We're doing just a lot of cool stuff. So we've got a couple new franchises that are new, or actually three this year. We just lost one about 2 or 3 weeks ago. When I say lost one, it's AF1 is a new entity. It's a new start. It's a fresh start for arena football. We want to make sure that those teams that are involved in participating in the league can take care of themselves throughout the season. We don't want to, you know, incur any financial responsibilities that they cannot meet. So we've been strict, and we want this thing to to continue. We before we got started, we had interviewed and spent a great deal of time with, say, maybe four or five other franchises that just didn't feel like they could get it ready for the 25 season. They'll be rolling in 26. One of them, namely, will be an international team in Monterey. So, you know, we've got a long-term future that's been planned out very well. Right now, in the short term, the immediate, yeah, we're opening the season this year, and this year, this weekend.
Yeah.
So, and there's been even as late as a couple of days ago, there's been some changes. But you know, you have to adjust a little bit on the onset just to make sure that you pull everything off. So we can talk about what we're going to be doing here whenever you're ready.
Yeah. Well, we will do that coming up next. Coach Jeff Fisher is in. You're still coach, by the way.
That's
you're,
it.
You'll
I'm
always
coach.
Be coach.
You know what? You know what coaches do? I met two of the coaches in the hallway. Hey guys, the coaches help you guys, don't they? Help you become better players and better people and stuff like that. Coaches help people.
Yeah.
And that's what when I got out, that's what I continued to do, is just different levels, whether it was a small little college program here, or whether it was, you know, the Alliance of American Football. I didn't coach there, but then, you all know, I got in and tried to help Fox and the USFL for a year, and I agreed to coach. But it's all about just helping people.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. We will talk more about the Cats and what's coming up starting this weekend. It's hard to believe, but we will do that with Coach Jeff Fisher. Coming up next, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. On this Thursday, talking with Jeff Fisher of AF1, Arena Football 1, and the Nashville Cats, and of course, longtime NFL coach with the Titans and the Rams. I'm excited about this. We were talking about this during the break, Coach, that a real American beer, Hulk Hogan, his beer is now going to partner with AF1. So that's going to be really cool. I know you're going to be going down and talking to the Hulkster here soon.
Tomorrow.
I'll be up bright and early. I'll be on my way down to Tampa, and we got a kind of a interview thing set up, a promotional thing, Q&A, kind of half hour kind of thing. So I'm really looking forward to meeting him, and he's excited about the partnership because he'd love to get this kind of beer and all of our markets if possible. But in addition to that, he's going to commit to showing up for a few games. So
nice.
We'll see. Nothing has been determined yet, but I guarantee you, I'm going to do my best to get him here in town to show up.
I would love that.
That would be really cool.
As a big wrestling fan, I think that would be
awesome.
That would
be good, yeah.
Awesome to see. But, you know, you talk about these partnerships. That's the key, right? I mean, you've got to have these partnerships to make this thing work. And that's what we've obviously seen, you know, for years with the NFL. They've figured it out. But you know, for you guys, not only with the Cats on the local side, but the league side as well, these partnerships are going to keep you going.
Well, that's exactly it. And, you know, what happened to us, not to go back to last year, but, you know, every team that was involved in the AFL was misled, and
sure.
So we had to find a way to finish it on our own. Led to believe that there were NFL Network games and all those things that were initially released that never came to fruition. So we spent the better part of the off season, or since last year, just kind of developing those relationships. And so we have new relationships with the football manufacturers and the equipment and the jersey manufacturers. And just a lot of things that, you know, I think you take for granted, the communication devices between the coaches and all those things, and, you know, the field surfaces and the dasher boards and all those things that are required. So it's coming, and I'm really excited about it. And it may appear, somebody may say, well, let me get to the schedule. So we're gonna go down. Our team is going to leave Friday at some point, and we're going to head to Wichita and then on to Dodge City, and we're going to open the season. The Cats are opening the season against the Southwest Kansas Storm. And you know, that's and it's going to be streamed on Evergreen, and you're gonna get a feel for where we're going to be. And so this is the start. So we don't expect everything to run off perfectly, because we've had to adjust some things. But we are going to kick the season off, and the league has asked the Cats to be a part of that. And so and then after that, we have a week or two where we're off, and we decided to do that because we got a late start, and we're going to get the players out in the community and do all those things. And then, you know, we come back with back-to-back games at Municipal end of March and first weekend in April.
And the website, theaf1.com, it's a great website. I mean, it's I look at websites now of things like, all right, how organized are you? That's a perfect website. So whoever's doing the website for you guys, kudos to that.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, we've got, like I said, we've got a really good management group. Jerry Kurz, Jerry is our CEO, and Jerry's been involved in indoor. He's been a commissioner in two different leagues. He's been involved in indoor all his life. He's an attorney. Most everybody, the thing that's interesting about this, and just so people understand it, with the exception of me, most everybody that's in that and the coaches, but people in the front office, ownership, so they have real jobs. You know, they got something. We got, you know, for example, we got one of the co-owners and the partners in the new franchise in Corpus. He was a first responder and a paramedic, and then he loved that career so much he decided to change, and he's a full-time police officer. But he's got a real job, but so you got people that sometimes are a little bit busy and things like that, but we get to pull them all together, and you know, it's a hands-on effort. And last year, I mean, I talked to you guys. I mean, there's some cool things, you know, at all different levels, but the cool thing about this, about the indoor, is not only the intimacy in the game and the rules and how you can be down 20 and with 20 seconds left and come back and win the game, but it's the closeness and the relationship that the players have with the fans, and the fan base gets really close. I mean, you know, anywhere I go, I'm still talking to people. The original Cat fans, you know, now we got a second generation that are interested. But, you know, you go to Billings or you go to Albany, and you know, these are storied franchises. You know, Billings, those are the two teams that played in the championship game last year. Albany has maybe a half a dozen players whose dads played for the Albany franchise. And, you know, so you got generational things going on. And you know, it is a niche.
Yes.
You know, it's a demographic and things that are a lot different. But basically what is, it's a direct connection to the fans and to the communities and to the little kids that come in there and see things like that. And they just go, this is really cool. And they got memories that last them forever.
I love last year you guys did the championship game in a shopping mall. I just thought that, I don't know if it's a
place. Was it Mall of America, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was in New Jersey.
It was in Jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Jersey.
I just think that was fantastic,
yeah.
Man. Right?
Yeah, it was there. You know, these games largely are played on ice rinks. You know, that's the ideal size. You know, put the dashboards up and throw AstroTurf down there, and you're playing football on a hockey.
You're right.
On a hockey rink. So that's in essence what we did, and it was you know, CBS Town. We partnered up, and you know, they produced it, and you know, they ran it live, and so it was really cool.
It's cool to me too. At the end of the day, whether it's the NFL, the CFL, the UFL, AF1, it doesn't matter. It's football. And these guys like that are playing it, you can see that passion and that love that they just love the game.
Yeah. The difference here, and again, it took me a long time to realize this. Now, we've probably had the conversation, but, you know, I put some hours in over at the Titans facility over the years.
Just a couple.
And so, you know, there were plenty of nights, late afternoon, early evening nights, where we weren't using the indoor, where somebody else was in there, and it was the Cats.
Oh, yeah.
And they were sharing that, and, you know, the relationship that we had with, you know, Tim McGraw and then Bud Adams and, you know, all that stuff. But I didn't, at that time, I was just so busy, I never attended a game. I didn't watch a practice. I just knew that this, you know, these guys were playing some kind of indoor football back over there. But there's a difference between the indoor football and then the 11-on-11 spring football that year after year after year tries to get launched. I mean, I watched, I was in a, on a conference call, when Bill Polian contacted all the head coaches and GMs of the teams in the Alliance of American Football and said, shut it down, shut your practices down, we're done. And so, you know, I was part of that. I wasn't coaching or doing anything, but I was trying to assist. And so the, you know, the spring thing, the 11 on 11 is hard. Yeah. It's hard because there's so much else going on and, you know, the travel costs and all those other things. We could talk for days about it, but this is different. This, yes, this is spring, but it's not that difficult and it's a different niche. You know, it's a different, a completely different game. It's played inside. You know, you don't need to worry about, you know, outdoor weather, things like that. They're played inside, and these things largely over the years, if you do it right, they finish up right around the, you know, the early July and before training camp starts. So there's the only thing going on out there, you know, in addition to us, is a draft. Yeah. Right now, you know, so, you know, you get a venue, you get an opportunity, you got some hockey, you get in there between, you know, between the hockey stuff or whatever it is, or the concerts or graduations, and man, you're good to go.
What do you want people to know about the AF1? It's the AF1.com is a website that put away last year. What do you want people to know about the 2025? That you're here, we're good, we're going.
That's exactly it, Joe. I mean, what we want people to know is that we found a way. We locked arms, and I say we. It's those franchises. It's the, you know, it's the Southwest Kansas and Albany and, you know, and Billings and Washington, for example, that didn't get in the playoff scenario. But these teams that were really really affected, were hanging on life support. But these teams got together. They helped each other get through the season, and now we've had an opportunity to launch a new effort, a new entity, and you know, obviously we got the naming rights to AF1, which is the original naming rights. So this thing's getting started. It's not going to be perfect this year. This is kind of our inaugural season. Yeah. Last year wasn't, and so you're going to see a lot of different things. And as with respect to the Cats, we are getting a late start. We have ownership change, which we'll discuss sometime in the future, but we have, for example, we hired Coach Darren Arbett. Darren is, I think, somewhere between right around 20 wins short of being the all-time winningest indoor football coach. And trust me, he knows exactly what he's doing. He's been working, you know, putting together his roster and planning for this season for months. And you're all going to get to meet him. He's a great man. He's been in this world for a long, long time. And so we want to get the best. We committed to bringing the best people in. You know, Greg Pogue's listening, and I'm not going to put him in the best, but Greg knows what he's doing. He's really been a tremendous asset for us. And and then we've got I've got Bobby Dvorsny in here as our CEO, and he's running the show. He has a great deal of business experience, and so we were just kind of, we pulled it together, and we had all kinds of stuff going on, all kinds of distractions last year. We washed that aside, and this is a new start. Now, we're not going to, you know, we're going to do our best. I mean, we understand the demographic. We understand the fan base. We just want people to come out and have fun.
Yeah.
You know, so we might open that place a couple hours early and have flag football games and doing stuff like this, but this is going to be a family-oriented, fun kind of event, you know, that we're going to be hands-on, and we're going to reach out and touching people.
It is going to be a lot of fun for sure. We will have more with Coach Jeff Fisher in studio with us. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Here on this Thursday, continuing our conversation with Coach Jeff Fisher, Arena Football One, the Nashville Cats. But talking some football, just to, you know, in general, you know, we were just kind of chatting during the break. The Titans currently hold the number one overall pick. And the only time you had that was when you guys traded for it when you were with the Rams, ironically, with the Titans, and selected Jared Goff. as you go through the process now, or if you're going through the process now, what are you looking at? Because you know that that number one overall pick, they don't grow on trees, and you got to get it right. I mean, I look at the Titans. They got to get this right if they stick and pick at number one. So what is the process like from your perspective?
Well, that was the point you just said, if they stay put. Yeah. The value of the pick as far as being able to turn that number one pick in the draft into an additional, whether it is 4, 6 high picks. You know, you can drop down, depending on how far you drop down, you get somebody that really wants it. You can pick up their one, another one next year, 2 2s, you know, and really fill out your roster. If you're confident that you can get that on the front end of the draft in the top three rounds in addition. But to me, that's the decision that they're making. So what is their number one need? And who's out there? And
well, they got a few. But.
That's the thing. That's the issue. And so, you know, is it a left tackle? Is it a right tackle? Is it a quarterback? Is it a running back? And who's out there? What, you know, you have to look at the positions. And is it a good year for running backs? Is it a good year for quarterbacks? Can we get a quarterback in the second round or the third round that we think will develop very quickly into our starter? Or are we good with Will? And yeah. if we're good with Will, then okay, fine. Let's go do something else. How are we gonna support him? And is it a defensive player? Do you need an impact defensive player? There's an impact defensive player out there. You're going to have to look at it because they are difference makers. People will game plan. Now, I'm going to say we got lucky. And I knew what kind of player Aaron was going to be. And when we drafted Aaron, you know, we knew that teams were going to change what they do offensively, and they're going to know when he's on the field and when he's not on the field. And, oh, my gosh, Aaron Donald's a game wrecker. Yeah, he is. He's a dictator. Yeah. So would you take an Aaron Donald type of player right now at number one if he's going to it's all about the evaluation process, the strength of the draft, your needs, free agency. Can we fill some holes with free agency? And I'd take a hard look at what Washington did last year.
Yeah.
They did a great job going out and getting key free agents to fill in these positions that have been there before. Guys with experience, guys with playoff experience, mature guys that are going to come in there and just take charge of the locker room, take charge, and then go. And then, in addition to that, go ahead and draft. And obviously, they got a quarterback that can play. And, you know, that was one of the most impressive things that I've seen over a period of time is what they did and that turnaround. Now, they hit some Hail Marys and they did some things, and you need some of that. Mm-hmm. But it's possible. You got a good coach, you got experience, coordinators and things like that. And so it's possible to turn things around that quickly. So I would take a good look at what they're doing. I'm not as close to it as I've been in the past, but it's obvious. And then, you know, they adjust. But I think you, as Titan fans, and you know, people associated with the organization, you got to trust that they make the right decision and be patient.
I look at the quarterback, and you know, a prime example is a guy you drafted in Jared Goff was the number one overall pick. You know, he had a tremendous college career. You guys get him, struggles a little bit, but you obviously see enough that he's there. He's a rookie. Rookies are going to make mistakes. And then they go to a Super Bowl, you know, and they decide, we're going to go in a different direction. We're going to go get Stafford, and he's the throw-in. Well, then he goes to Detroit, and we see he was an MVP candidate. And now we have seen Sam Darnold, and there have been others of these quarterbacks that maybe get thrown in a little too quickly, and they have to kind of catch up to it, and now all of a sudden they're having good careers. I go back to you and Floyd. When you brought Steve in, you guys were like, you're not going to see him for at least the first year. He's going to sit back and he's going to learn. and you went through it with Vince, you know, for half a season, I guess is what it was. Just a little bit of time for these guys, I think, is so tremendous. So if the Titans were to take Cam Ward out of Miami, number one overall, I'm of the belief, go sign a guy and let him sit, and it doesn't matter how bad you are. The kid needs to learn. That's just me. Do you still look at things that way?
Yeah, or is each quarterback is different. The college system that they come from is different. But with respect to Jared, Jared never called a play in the huddle. Those right. plays came from the sideline on cards. Jared didn't line up and identify the mic. The O-line did it. So all Jared did was look at the play and can take the snap and go do it. And so, you know, we're not – that's not how we do things at this level, okay? We're not sending plays in on cards and things like that. We're expecting the quarterback to make some decisions. So what do? You don't play him right away. You know, I didn't put right. – I didn't play – that was my last year there, but yeah. I didn't play Jared until, you know – towards week 10, whatever yeah. it was, you know, he got a little bit of experience here and some experience there. But the one thing that I did, and not
who'd you have with him? Who was the veteran that
Case
you
Keenum.
Case Keenum.
I had
yeah,
Case,
that's right.
and Case was awesome. Yeah. I mean, we started off 3-1 or something like that, and then we had problems defensively, got people hurt, and then lost a couple close games, and then they fired my ass. So
look, we blame Coach Mack for that.
Yeah, Coach Mack, are you listening? But my thing with Jared was just bring him along slow and make sure he sees everything. And I'll shift over to Sam Darnold. Okay, Sam's he's drafted in the Jet. In their program there. Well, who's the defensive coordinator when he was drafted? He's a good friend. He coached for me for a long time. His name is Greg Williams. Okay, Greg Williams comes...
Knows a thing or two.
Yeah, he knows a thing or two, okay? But the head coach at the time could not... He didn't have control over the direction he wanted to go and the development of his quarterback because do you remember Sam Darnold saying, I'm seeing ghosts?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
He said that?
Yep.
Okay. Well, Greg comes out of the New Orleans program where Greg's got thrown his whole defensive playbook at no one other than Drew Brees.
Right.
And they're competing, and Drew and Greg are competing, and they're trying to outsmart each other and stuff like that, and it's a fun deal and everything. Well, Sam Darnold's not Drew Brees his rookie year. And so the point is that when I was in St. Louis and I had Greg on my staff, it's okay. Your responsibility is to know when Jared Goff is in the huddle. Okay, when he's in the huddle, you're going to do 1, 2, 3, 4 different things. That's it. We have to develop him. I don't want you to go in there and trick, you know, whatever him and confuse him and come in yeah. off of one side and trap the other side and all this kind of stuff. He's in a progression. He's working his way through, you know, the nuances of defense. But you got to start someplace and go. That's how we handled Jared there. Greg, you know, from what I'm told, and again, I'll tell this to Greg, we're good friends and all that stuff, but I think that's part of Darnold's problem early on in his career. He just didn't get settled. And,
right.
you know, and people, and for a quarterback standpoint, you know, guys will go one place and struggle a bit and then all of a sudden go someplace else and, man, light it up like Sam did. And they need time. So, you know, we're talking about Will right now. He's in his, he was in his third offense.
Year. Yeah, right.
Come on. He hadn't figured out a way to have fun.
Yeah. No.
That's right.
No, I mean, because last year, he barely had a line in front of him. He got beat up, you know, he got yeah. hurt. So I certainly get that. We'll have more with Coach Fisher coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game on this Thursday, continuing our hour with Coach Jeff Fisher, AF1 and the Nashville Cats, but talking some ball with him, Joe.
All right, so when you got the number one pick from the Titans in 2016 with the Rams, did you call them and say, hey, what we got? What are we going to do here? How did that all go down?
Yeah, there's some conversation. I mean, there's some conversation around the league. And, you know, Les and Kevin reached out to John, and they started the conversation. And it just kind of one thing led to another. Yeah, I mean, we did the, you know, the reverse of that with Mike Shanahan in the RG3 trade. You know, we dropped down. Mike was, when Mike was at Washington, he was ahead of his time. you know, he felt like this guy brings a different dynamic to the game right now, and the game's not prepared for the mobile quarterback. And the defenses don't have enough players to defend
right.
it.
Yeah.
And so Mike wanted to go get Robert, and so we traded with him, and we picked up ones and twos, and that's a Michael Brockers, and then, I mean, and Janoris Jenkins. And as a matter of fact, when we went to Washington 2 or 3 years later, I introduced on the field as captains for the coin toss. Everybody was on the active roster that I had gotten. We had gotten from Washington, and it was the only one that realized it, saw it, that thought it was a really great, you know, little gesture was Daniel Snyder. But we built a big part of the Rams team with the RG3 trade.
Oh, so you think right now the Titans number one, there are teams calling them every day saying, hey, what do you got? How did that work for you guys when you were dealing with that? We were like, teams calling you? I guess I'm thinking, what do you got? What do you got for me? Well, how can you help me out? And then is that how the back and forth goes?
Yeah. I mean, you know, number one, everybody knows the history and the values, and if you're going to go from 1 to 2 or 1 to 6 or 1 to 12 or 13, what the compensation should be. So that's kind of where the conversation starts. Well, it starts at, hey, would you have any interest in moving out? Well, I mean, that's happened every year. Anybody that's sitting at number one that says no should be fired.
Love it.
So, I mean, it's that's the way it is. There's a lot of stuff that goes on, you know, even on draft day. I mean, you know, there's some stuff, and we can talk about some stories, but, you know, I remember we got a call. I mean, it was our first draft. It was Floyd and I, and, you know, we got it's expansion. It's Jacksonville. It's Jacksonville, Carolina, or Carolina, Jacksonville, one way or the other, and then us. And we got Bud's plane in New York, and we're going to go pick up Steve. And then Jacksonville calls and says, hey, I'm getting ready to trade out. This is Coughlin. It's awesome. He goes, I'm getting ready to trade out. Down below, somebody wants your quarterback. I'll switch places with you. So, yeah, he was 2. We were 3. He goes, I'll switch places with you for a 4th. And hangs up. Why? We're on the clock. Or they're on the clock.
Wow.
And Floyd's like, oh, you know, no, we can't. Oh, we can't lose our quarterback. And it was like, look, he's bluffing.
Yeah.
We know he's gonna. He knows who
he's
we're
trying to get
take,
an extra pick.
Yeah. And he wants to get an extra pick. And if he's gonna get his guy anyway, whether he sits there or not, it's Bocelli. You know. And we spent 10 minutes, you know, with the heart rate up over 200, worried about it. And no, he's bluffing. And then we finally said no, and you know, he takes his guy. But. You know, that's, you know, those are things that go on. I did that. I learned that trick, and I did that a few years after it with the Giants and got a pick. So
what do you remember? Floyd used to always tell this story, and we laugh. When you guys drafted Curse in 99, that he, and I'm trying to remember exactly, but I think he was on the phone with Tampa that there might be some movement, but you guys had identified that you wanted Javon at that point, and Floyd's literally in the middle of a phone call and finds out that he doesn't have to worry about it. And he goes, I'll talk to you later.
And we got him. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that was true. I mean, that was one that we really coveted. I mean, you covet every first round pick or whatever it is, but this was a difference maker. And the timing of which had a wild ass defensive line coach and Jim Washburn in his first year. And, you know, it just was falling into place. And we needed somebody that could dictate and get to the quarterback. And yeah, that was a fun deal. That year was amazing.
Well, all the mock drafts had you guys taken Andy Katzenmoyer from Ohio State, all the mock drafts, and then you guys got Javon. I'm like, this is much better because Katzenmoyer was a disaster in the National Football League.
Yeah, Javon was, oh my gosh, the stuff that he did physically is still mind-boggling.
It is. True. It is. I mean, just to see him take off your people was – the Rams game in 99 was amazing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was just
– false start Fred Miller. He couldn't stop him.
and the rookie sack record, too.
Yeah.
You know, remember he got out there and kind of did this, you know, and it was a record. He's putting a record on. And then he just kept going.
Bones Fossil was with you with the Rams, now coming to the Titans as a special teams coach. When they announced that, I was like, this might be the smartest hire they've made in a long time. What is he going to bring to special teams? Because we saw how important that was when you were here.
Well, we did things in St. Louis that no one will ever do again, unless Coach can convince this staff that he needs to do it. Because we immediately put the punter in the Pro Bowl because of our fake threats, and we immediately went out and got a punter. When we hired John, we went out and we got Zuerlein and got Hecker. Okay, and so we drafted one, I can't remember, and we signed the other. And Heck was a huge priority of ours because he was a high school quarterback and he could throw. I've never had a punter on my roster that couldn't throw. And that what that does to
we've seen Brett Kern throw. So
oh yeah, well that's okay, but that was kind of right there at the end, kind of thing. But John is he's really really creative. He's very thorough. He's amazing in a special teams meeting. I was in every single special teams meeting with him for 5 years or four and a half while I was there. He really is an outstanding teacher. Players love him. He breaks the game down and simplifies the game, the coverage aspects, the protection aspects, and he is a drill person. You drill over and over and over and over again. And I always go back to Benji Olsen. Benji Olsen was one of the best guards ever to play for the Titans, and Benji did the same thing over and over and over again and played to a really high level. He never got beat inside. He anchored this. He did that. And was this. And that's kind of the concepts that you have to bring to special teams is the drill aspects and things like that. And then he likes to have fun. His meetings are fun. Everybody's laughing. Everybody's joining. It's a competitive world, under Coach Fossil. He was the interim when they let me go. I talked to him every day through to the end of the season. And he was a good friend. And when I saw that things were going the way they were in Dallas, I really was hopeful that he would end up here. I've spoke with him a few times.
Yeah.
Haven't gotten together because he's real busy. But, the other side of that is last year was a difficult year for special teams. And their special teams coach was a really good coach. He's gonna be okay. He was just dealt a really hard hand to deal with. When you lose starters, and then now your special teams core group guys end up being starters before the season starts or even week one, and you got backups on your punt protection team, you're gonna have some problems, and they did. And so, but I'm a fan of their former special teams coach. As a player, he was my son's teammate at University of Montana.
Yeah.
So, and a very, very good special teams player. Just a hard hand. That's coaching sometimes.
Yeah.
But there's nobody better out there than Fossil.
Yeah.
So look for immediate improvement in all areas.
Thanks so much for doing this. It's good to see you. We got to turn things over to D-Mace.
That's okay.
He needs his time, right?
Yeah, give it all to D-Mace. Yeah, I'm excited and appreciate what you guys. You guys surprised him a couple days ago.
We did.
You?
Yeah, it was with the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. So very, cool. Very well deserving.
Very deserving. Yeah.
Titans Ring of Honor should be next.
Yes, saying. I agree.
ZAF1.com. Everything's there you need.
That's it. Thank
That's
you.
It.
Appreciate you guys.
Coach, thanks, good
coach.
To see you.
Okay, thank
coach
you.
Coach Jeff Fisher, he's Big Joe. I'm Chase McKay. That'll do it for us. DVD. Coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.